Father, we ask for thy blessing upon us today. Thou dost know our individual needs. We ask that thou wilt meet them. Grant our God that we may understand this portion of the word of God at which we look. And grant our Father, as there is understanding, there will be application. For we pray in Jesus' name, amen. If you have your Bibles with you today, will you open them, please, to the 12th chapter of the book of the Revelation, as we remind you that after having read a portion of this chapter, we spent our time identifying the various characters in the scene which presented itself to John's eyes and which is described in Revelation 12. You will remember that John saw a woman, great with child. She was about to give birth to the child. You will recall that he saw a great red dragon crouching in front of her, ready to snatch the child as soon as it was born. And as you continued to look at the scene, you recall the child was born, but was caught up to heaven, and the dragon was not permitted to lay hold on the child. Other information is given in the chapter, but this much we had been discussing. We wanted to know the identity of the various characters in this marvelous sign which John saw in the heavens. And we suggested to you that the proper approach, because of the many mistaken ideas there are, would be to identify the child. We said, if we could identify the child beyond all doubt, then it would be easier to identify the woman. We did identify the child as the Lord Jesus Christ. And after suggesting to you various interpretations as to the identity of the woman, we said we were convinced that the woman is a symbol of the nation of Israel. And we said there were three reasons why we are firmly convinced that this is true. One of them I have already suggested to you: the plan that the book of the Revelation follows. Whenever anything is going to be suggested about the nation of Israel, the temple in heaven is mentioned. That is true in verse 19 of chapter 11. Another reason is the manner in which this woman is presented in the heavens. You will notice that this woman is clothed with the sun. She has the moon under her feet, and she has upon her head a crown of 12 stars. Now, when you have time, you read very carefully what is recorded in Genesis chapter 37. You will discover there dreams that God gave to Joseph. And in those dreams are the very things which are mentioned here. When God gave those dreams to Joseph, the stars, the moon, and the sun were representative of the nation of Israel. God never changes his symbols in midstream. When he mentions them, the last time they will be mentioned, they will mean exactly the same thing as when he mentioned them the first time. Genesis 37 is the place where these symbols are mentioned for the first time. And Revelation 12 is the place where they are mentioned the last time. So if you have the second reason why we are absolutely sure that this woman is the nation of Israel, you realize that it is borne out by what you read in Genesis chapter 37. Now, perhaps more convincing than any of these things I have suggested to you is the simple, direct statement of the Word of God found in Romans chapter 9, when the apostle said in verse 1, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart, for I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. Listen carefully now. Who are the Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises. whose are the fathers, and of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came, who is over all, God blessed forever. Amen. Did you notice the last statement in this paragraph? Paul said, I want to talk to you about the Israelites. I want to tell you everything about them. He lists all of the things that are related to them, and then he adds, of whom, concerning the flesh, Christ came. As far as the flesh is concerned, who gave birth to the Lord Jesus Christ? The nation of Israel, because the Lord Jesus Christ was the promised seed of Abraham. He was the seed which God promised in Genesis 3 when he said, the seed of the woman shall bruise the serpent's head. There can be no doubt that the woman is the nation of Israel. Now, who is the third character in this picture? We've identified Christ. We've identified Israel. Who is the third character? Well, you probably already guessed, because his identity is so clear that even as I was trying to describe this picture for you, I referred to him as the devil. That is, I referred to the dragon as the devil. He is identified in this chapter without any doubt at all. If you will glance at verse 9, you will notice these words. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. So, there can be no doubt that the dragon is none other than the devil himself. With these identities clearly established, it is wise for us now to notice the action in the picture before us. The devil waited patiently for many, many years. He waited the fullness of time for this child to be born. He did everything he could before the child was born and after the child was born to kill it. We do not have time to describe in detail the attempts which the devil made upon the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. But think about a few. Why do you think Herod issued an edict to kill all the little babies in Israel? Do you think that was just a whim of Herod? Oh, no. That was a prompting of the devil, for the devil wanted to devour this child as soon as it was born. Why do you think the devil took the Lord Jesus Christ up on the pinnacle of the temple and told him to cast himself down, telling him that God could bear him up, that he couldn't possibly lose his life? Why do you think he did that? Because he was trying to devour this child. He was trying to kill the Lord Jesus Christ. Why did the Lord Jesus Christ suffer the agony in the Garden of Gethsemane, which is so plainly described in the Gospel? Because he didn't want to go to the cross? Well, this is what many people think. But to me, that's a very foolish thing. Why, that's the very reason he came to the earth, to go to the cross. Can you imagine the Holy Son of God trying to squirm out of something that he had willingly agreed to do? Oh, no. The thing that was troubling the Lord Jesus in the garden was the attack of Satan upon him. Satan was trying to kill him before he got to the cross. Now, we could go on about the attempts of the devil to devour the child as soon as the child is born, but I think this is sufficient for you to get the idea. But glance down at verse 5 again, and notice, the woman brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up to God and to his throne. If we had nothing more than this verse of Scripture, we might be led to believe that the child, as soon as he was born, was caught up to the throne of God. But remember this, no Scripture is of any private interpretation. It must always be interpreted in the light of other Scripture. So the next time we meet together, we're going to interpret this verse in the light of other portions of the Word of God, which should be of very great interest to you. But for the moment, we must pause.